Getting flight prices, more Star Wars, floating windows, and more. This is the Android Realm Podcast, episode number 201, Extended Uses. Welcome back to the episode, everybody. Your host, as always, Headphones Neil, bringing you a rather random but busy and intriguing week of Android news. So I'll jump right into it. I'll have the usual headlines, apps, device news. And then after the short break, I'll have an app review, a device review, and of course the Chromebook quick tip. So without delaying it too much more, I'll jump right into it. So to start off with a couple of headlines, Google got 25 licenses from the state of California this week to start allowing self-driving cars to start driving across the state of California. So they're no longer limited to just the roads around Mountain View. It's across the whole state, so we'll see how it goes. It's not limited to just Google, it's other companies who have driving cars as well, but of course this being an Android and semi-Google podcast, that is of note, so we'll see how well they drive or how well they actually do across the state and all of that good stuff. If you are converting someone to a Google account or you are considering creating one, you no longer need to set up your Google Plus profile at sign up. So that's something that changed this week. It's not basically it was used to not be a requirement, then they changed it since Google Plus launched. But if you don't want to use Google Plus, you no longer have to worry about that at sign up. So if it's not has never really bothered you, then it's not a problem. But if you know someone who doesn't want to sign or have their Google Plus page created just to avoid confusion, then that is now an optional requirement. And finally, Google is working on adding app indexing information to tie it to Google Play apps. So it's kind of, from my understanding, it's going to be a two-way street based on what data is used within apps, and then also being able to search for those apps in Google. So if there's a related app in Google Play that can provide relevant information of what you're searching for, then that will that should now work seamlessly. As far as some app news update for this week, Google Play Music is now available in Brazil and Uruguay. So if you're in either one of those countries and have been waiting for Google Play Music, it is now available. I don't know if Google Play All Access is included in this. I would imagine so, but definitely check that out if it is available. Google Currents this week for iOS got renamed and updated to Google Play Newsstand, so it follows more of the material design look and feel. And it does away with the Google Currents name completely from iOS, so I guess it's probably to avoid confusion, or I'm guessing they're trying to phase away from Google Currents because that particular test is over. But in any case, if you're looking for Google Currents, it is now Google Play Newsstands on iOS. If you're checking flight prices for an upcoming trip, or because you're curious how much it's going to cost you for that trip that you're taking, if you're logged into your Google account and you start searching for flight prices, Google now will now show you updates to those flight prices. So if they increase or decrease, or there's some sort of material change, then Google now will provide that update as well. So you're alerted in case there's a deal that is available, or if you see that the price has gone down to something that's more in your range, then Google now can now automatically provide that information for you. Google Voice Search for iOS also got an update this week to now have TV recommendations, improved transit cards, and various backend improvements. So you should see the app perform a lot more quickly, along with providing a few extra recommendations for television and transit. Google Play is getting a rollout for apps and games that have in-app purchases. So rather than just seeing that the game is probably free with in-app purchases, you also now see the range of how much those in-app purchases will cost. So if it ranges from $1 to $4, you'll see that versus, let's say, $1 to $75. So it makes it that much more easier to get a gauge of how much this game can possibly cost you in the event that you get addicted and you're wondering how you manage to spend that much money. For those of you who use Plex for your home streaming needs, Plex Pass was updated this week to get a refreshed user interface, play queue, and post-playing screen, so it should be a lot easier for navigation and also seeing what is coming up next, what you have in your queue, and that sort of good stuff. So last week, Star Wars Commander was released for Android. For me, it's a bit of an iffy game. I really enjoy playing it, but it has a few bugs on crashing. But overall, it's pretty good. But if you're wanting more Star Wars Galactic Defense is going to release later in 2014. As a new Star Wars Tower Defense game, it's going to bring all your favorite characters from the original trilogy. And from my understanding, the new trilogy as well. So look out for that. I'll probably do a review as soon as it's available to see how good it is. As far as some device news for this week, the T-Mobile Moto X finally got its Android 4.4.4 update. So I think for the most part, all American carriers now have, or all American carriers of the Moto X first gen now have Android 4.4.4. For those of you who have a couple of different Samsung Galaxy S5 devices, they're getting their CyanogenMod 11 nightlies, and the specific models are the International Samsung Galaxy S4 Active, the T-Mobile, and the T-Mobile Samsung Galaxy S5. So if you have either device, you can now get CyanogenMod 11 and have a more stock version of Android. If you're looking for a newer version of an Android flip phone, then check out the LG Wine Smart. It is, as I said, a flip phone. Comes with a 1.2 GHz processor, 1 GB of RAM, 4 GB of storage, 8 megapixel camera, a 1700 milliamp hour battery, and Android 4.4. Android is streamlined to work on the flip phone format, and looks like a low to mid-range phone, probably more on the low-end side of things. I say mid-range because of the RAM and the more recent version of Android, but basically if you're still into the flip phone side of things and want Android, this may be the option for you. If you live in Thailand and want a 6-inch device, then check out the Samsung Galaxy Mega 2. It has, of course, a 6-inch screen, a 1.5 GHz quad-core processor, 1.5 gigs of RAM, and 16 gigs of storage, which is expandable, along with an 8 megapixel rear camera, a 2800 milliamp hour battery, and Android 4.4. So it is a mid to high end device, definitely very powerful, and of course big enough to see everything clearly and run at least throughout the day depending on your usage, but it looks like a pretty good phone in itself. On the flip side, if you want a affordable low-end starter phone, then check out the Arcos 50B or the 45C. They both come with a 1.3 GHz quad-core processor and 512 MB of RAM. The 45C has a 4.5 inch screen and a 5 megapixel camera. The 50B comes with a 5 inch screen and an 8 megapixel camera. So basically, two screen sizes to probably fit your need. They're relatively close, so it all depends on what fits better in your hand and how much, or which one is more affordable to you. But that's really all there is for that, so after the short break, I'll jump into the app review, device review, and the Chromebook quick tip. So let's say you're playing games, or you're getting that new device, you're updating to a new ROM, you want to listen to, for example, let's say podcasts via your Plex Pass, or you're moving from Plex Pass to focus more on podcasts on your mobile device, then check out our friends over at Tweaked Audio. They have 7 great styles and 7 great colors of headphones, so they'll have whatever suits your need or whatever suits your device that you want to probably match to. All of their headphones are noise reducing, so you hear more of what you're listening to and less of the outside world. And that definitely comes in handy at home, at work, at the gym, all of that good stuff. They do offer free shipping, so it's not going to cost you much extra to get the device sent to you. And when you use the promo code GEEK, that's G-E-E-K, you'll get an extra 1/3 off your order so you can save some money and show your support for the Android Realm podcast and the Geek.io network of shows. So be sure to visit geek-io.com/tweaked and use a promo code GEEK at checkout to get yourself some new headphones and save some money at the same time and show your support for the show and the network. We thank them for their support, and we hope you show them your support as well. But with that, I'll jump right into this week's app review. It's actually a pretty simple and straightforward app, but something that can help show you information a little bit more quickly or get to apps a little bit more quicker. And that app is called C Floating. It's just the letter C and then the word floating. And so what this app does is it creates a little shortcut icon that hovers above everything that you have open on your screen, whether you're on your home screen or in an app, and it shortcuts to widgets or app shortcuts that you have set up with the app itself. So let's say you want to have a weather widget that is easily accessible rather than just on your home screen, but available on any screen. You can set up, for example, HD widgets or Google's news and weather app, or even Yahoo, or I don't think Yahoo Weather has it, a widget, but whatever app has a widget, you can add it to C Floating. So when you touch it, it will open up that widget and you can get quick access to it, whether you're listening to podcast or you're in your podcast app in Google Plus or Facebook, or even on your home screen, it's readily available. You can also create a widget to launch apps. So let's say you're always in an app for whatever reason and you need quick access to your camera, or you want quick access to your phone and messaging apps, then you can create shortcuts to those as well. So it's just basically just links to those apps to launch. The free version of C Floating allows you only one widget or two shortcut links to apps. The paid version is unlimited, so you can, obviously supporting the developer gives you those additional benefits. The widget, or the C Floating window for widgets is resizable, so if you wanted to cover your screen to give more room for bigger widgets, you can do that as well, and you can configure transparency options, launch options, and various other settings as well. So it's very customizable on that end as well, so it's definitely worth checking out. So I'll have a link to the free version in the App Store if you want to check it out, and definitely purchase it if you find that you want more customizable options and more options as far as getting more widgets added or more links to shortcuts to apps. So that's called C Floating. It's available in free and paid versions, so definitely check it out. So with that, I'll jump right into this week's device news, and it's actually gonna be it's a non-Android device, but it allows you to run Android apps sort of, in the sense, or I'll get to that in a second, but the device itself is BlackBerry Passport. So this week, BlackBerry launched a new smartphone. It's from the looks of it, it's basically squarish, but it is a very powerful BlackBerry device. Because it has a 4.5-inch screen, a 3450 milliamp hour battery, 3 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of storage, which is upgradable to or expandable to 128 gigabytes, comes with a capacitive touch keyboard, which basically lets you do swipe gestures across the keyboard as well as, I think, from my understanding, across the screen as well. But if you want to program gestures on your keyboard, that is now an option. And it also comes with a 13 megapixel rear camera, so high megapixel. So overall, I would say it's in the high spec range devices. At worst, it would probably be a high mid-range phone. The only thing that's about average in the phone is a 4.5-inch screen, so it's right in the range of most other phones, but if you're used to bigger phones, it might seem kind of small, and it might seem also kind of small because of the squarish design, but overall, it seems like a pretty hardware-intensive phone, or good, like hardware-intensive in the sense that it is a very powerful phone. But this particular device is of note because it's going to come pre-installed with the Amazon App Store. So that way you can get Android apps installed on your BlackBerry device. So if there's something that's not provided by BlackBerry, then you can get it installed this way as well. You're not going to get Google-specific apps like Gmail and Keep and those sorts of apps. But you can get other apps that may be available for Android that are non-Google specific. So if you want the official Facebook app or Twitter client or GReader or Feedly or anything like that, I'm not sure if they're available for BlackBerry. I think they would be, but I don't know offhand. But in any case, if you want to use those apps like that on your BlackBerry device, you can now do it just by visiting the Amazon App Store. And of course, it's tied to your Amazon account. So if you do have an Android device or tablet or the Fire Phone, it will all stay in sync with your same account. So it is all cross-platform or cross-device compatible and available. So that's sort of what I wanted to talk about that. I didn't read too many reviews just yet since the device itself came out this week. We'll see if it takes off, but I would say that the Amazon App Store is a selling point because it does allow you to install those various Android apps that are available in the App Store onto your BlackBerry device, and I would imagine it also allows you to participate in the free app of the day as well. So if there's something available or Amazon likes to run its big sales for Amazon apps, so you can get yourself various apps that way as well. So that's really all there is for that. So with that, I will jump right into the Chromebook quick tip for this week. And it's not technically Chromebook specific related, and this is something I plan to cover more in an upcoming episode of This Working Droid, one of my other podcasts. But let's say you want to have a podcast client that is compatible or that syncs with a web browser along with your Android or iOS devices, or all three, for example. And that's where the new released in beta Pocket Cast web client comes into play. So if you visit their Google Plus profile, it might be on their website as well, but you can sign up to try their beta program to use Pocket Cast web. And so basically what it does is, by signing in with the same account that you use on your Android or iOS device, your podcast will stay in sync with your account. So as long as you're signed into the same account, you can access all of your podcasts that you're subscribed to, see which ones are new, which ones that you're listening to that are in progress, ones that you may be listening to in case you want to listen to a past episode, and all of that stuff. So it's all available in the web client as well. And then if you're on a website and you want to subscribe to a new podcast, that is an option as well. And you don't even have to go to your device to add it, because since everything is in sync, it'll show up on your device as well. And it's really actually pretty fast as far as syncing. So for example, I was trying it out and hitting I'll start listening to a podcast and I'll hit pause, and sure enough, within a few seconds, it'll automatically sync the same progress to my Android device. So if it says there's, for example, 30 minutes remaining, I'll see that same thing on my Android device if I open up the app. Or if you're already in the app, if you hit refresh, it'll sync to where the position is in the web client as well. There's currently no offline support just yet because it is still in beta. It's probably a feature that is coming soon. So you do need a website or an internet connection to make it work. But so far it works really nicely. It's really smooth. It offers list and grid views for the podcast or for podcasts that you subscribe to, so you can easily switch to all of them. I'm still trying it out, but it is pretty nifty. It's really smooth. So I haven't seen it about going back to older episodes, but I believe it's something as simple as going into just clicking the podcast you want to see the episodes for and hitting play or add to queue. And so the final detail for this, though, is that once you sign up, you get a 7-day trial to try it out, see if you like it. And if you want to unlock or remove the trial from your account, it does cost $9 to do a permanent or to gain permanent access to it beyond the 7-day trial. As far as I know, it is a one-time payment. I thought initially that it would have been a recurring payment, but from my understanding from the FAQ and from starting the payment process, I haven't done it just yet. But if it's something that you find that it's useful, paying the $9 is actually pretty good as far as having a web client for podcasts. So it's something that I'm considering. I haven't decided on it just yet. I'll see how it goes over the next few days and then make my decision as far as something that I would use regularly. But I do recommend it, and it's something that's nice, especially for a device or a laptop like the Chromebook, because it bridges that gap without having to add an extra step. And you can basically pin the website to an open window, so you can easily access it, and you can now more easily play your podcast on your Chromebook if you so choose to have it that way. Like, for example, the only exception, for example, is I use, let's say you subscribe to all your podcasts in Feedly as well, then you can listen that way as well, but it doesn't sync or the progress doesn't sync down to your device, whether it's iOS or Android. But this particular web player lets you do that as well, so it's definitely worth checking out. I'm going to play with it some more in the coming days. I do, as I mentioned, there's a 7-day trial, so I'll play with it, check out more of the settings, and I'll have a full review for the web client itself on the next episode at the moment of this working Android. So definitely look out for that. And yes, that's a shameless self-promotion, but it is worth checking out just to see how well it works and at least have cross-platform syncing of your podcast so you're always in sync whatever device you may be on. But that is all for this particular episode of the Android Realm podcast. So if you want to get in touch with me, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. You can find the Android Realm Digest, usually posted within a day or so after the release of the podcast, if you want an ebook version of the show, at author.patelN01.com. I do see in the past couple of weeks that a few of you have purchased it, so thank you for your support, and thanks for spreading the word if you spread the word to your friends and family as well. But thank you for that. If you have any suggestions for that as well, you can always email me as well or get in touch with me on Twitter, however you get the updates for the show. The Android Realm is also available on Facebook and Google Plus, so you can get regular updates that way as well. And of course, if you want to find this show and more shows on the Geek.io network, be sure to visit geek-io.com. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.